This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's 7:05 in the evening, and as mentioned, our first story is going to be about the Labor Day rally. And we'll get to that right after a quick look at the messages that have come through on the subject of safety. The conversation pivoted a little bit towards the issue of the police, because I think a lot of people have had
less than happy and pleasant experiences with the police.
Yeah, that's one way of putting it, yes. So I think the conversation's kind of turned in that direction. Kamar Nizam says, police constables are normally SPM school leavers, you know, those tough guys at school. I'm not sure the police gets to pick the top choices when recruiting. It might explain the lack of empathy.
But that's where training becomes very, very important. You can teach empathy. Empathy is a skill you can learn. So if that's something they do need to introduce as part of the police training system, because they do it for doctors. Not all doctors necessarily have the best skill when it comes to human connections.
Well, with that said, I mean, so Joe Sun is also agreeing, saying that perhaps more and more people are daring to do crimes because they have a high chance of not being caught. But we have a message from Melissa who says, I used to have a distrust towards our police force as well, but it's been shifting lately. I haven't had too many experiences with the police, thank goodness, but whatever experiences I have had have been pretty pleasant. I go to church at quite a prominent location in KL, and just last Sunday, we had a few police keeping watch at the church following the Sri Lanka Easter Sunday attacks. It wasn't necessary, but it was a measure taken just in case, and also to give the congregation peace of mind. But we were told that the police were very helpful, which is really nice to hear, especially in light of the religious tensions that we have here.
I don't know how to place it, right? Because on an individual level, the experience is so great. But on the levels where it's more, there are more police officers involved, the community thing seems to be working out for them.
Yes, but I'm not sure every individual has a positive experience, just because a lot of listeners have been saying that their individual experiences haven't been all that great. I think it's wonderful that Melissa had that experience. I wish that I had the same. And it's good. I don't want to take anything away from that. I just wish more help would be had in a time of actual, like, crisis that just passed, you know, like when a crime has just occurred and you need that support, you need that reassurance. That is when you really have to step up, I guess.
Yeah, that's correct.
Amir says about spam, the way spam is conducted, the way these situations are conducted, it's practically impossible for the police to block them, let alone make a case. There is very little the police station can do about it. And you need to remember that most policemen and women are very good and committed at their job. If one has a problem with specific cases, take down their ID numbers and report their behavior.
When it comes to spam, I'm not sure if it's always necessarily with the police alone that can take action. I believe you can also report it to MCMC.
That's right. Yeah, I think MCMC are the people to go to if you have been facing spam calls and things of that nature. And I can definitely see how the police station, how they on that level might not be able to do much. But on the issue of misconduct, like I said, if it's a shrug, if somebody just was rude to you, if somebody just said, you know what, this crime is going to go unsolved, report to insurance, best of luck, and then drives off, that's not something, I don't know what to report about that. I'm not sure what the complaint is. I wish you were better. I don't know what it is. So I take the point, but I'm not sure what the complaint would have been in that instance.
There might also be the barrier where if you are reporting, I guess, less than friendly behavior to, you're essentially reporting to another police officer, likely someone in the higher ranks. Do you necessarily feel comfortable with that? And do you also maybe have to consider how might this affect their job? I mean, they're not the best at it, but it might still hurt them.
No, definitely. You're right. Keep those thoughts coming. You can WhatsApp 018-789-8899. You can tweet us at BFM Radio. In the meantime, just looking at what happened yesterday is a bit of a historic moment. For the first time in decades, a member of cabinet joined the Labor Day March that was held by the Malaysian Trade Union Congress, or the MTUC.
Human Resource Minister M. Kulasekaran, during the event, he was there. He pledged to amend 7 acts that affect the workforce. That includes improving safety and health at workplaces, encouraging inclusivity of the disabled community and senior citizens in employment, and discrimination against women.
So everything sounds great. We're going to get a sort of first-hand understanding of what this is from Dato' Abdul Halim Mansor, president of the MTUC. Dato' Halim, thanks for joining us. Okay, so what were some of the demands that were put forth by workers at the Labour Day rally?
First of all, let me wish you a Labour Day on the 1st of May for all the workers. That I would just say that the demand of the workers, basically, whether it is the old one that we continue to demand and the new one that where it is depend on the situation of the industries in our country. So the old one, we are still talking about a better social security. And then we demand that the amount of contribution that the workers make to employee provident fund should be calculated from the gross pay, not from the basic pay of what they earn per month. Because this is referring to our tax, income tax, where it depends on our income per year. So this is basically that I can say that we are still demanding. We're demanding that, a better minimum wage. Part of it, we demand to have a better pay or better salary for service, for workers that are on service. And we demand that the government amend the law to make sure that annual increment should be in the law as part of the workers' benefit while employment.
Given that it's just a few days to the first anniversary of GE14, what are your thoughts on how much the current government has done to improve the welfare of workers?
Actually, if you look about whether they will celebrate the anniversary with a positive mark from the public or from the voters, I can say between MTUC and MOHR, we have a positive link. We have a positive meeting. We have a very frequent meeting that where I can say the ministry have overshot in the sense that the communication and frequent meeting that we have well than the government before. And I think that is positive. We communicate well. We talk about the reform of the law very good. We work together for it, in the positive manner. But it is in the surrounding of a meeting, of administration. We do not have any positive result yet. Because to amend the law, it is not only, talking about what the workers demand, what the employers may want to, but we are talking about the protection, the safety net. We are talking about the protection of the workers, that where the government and the employers must make a bit nationalist, to make sure protect our asset that in the workers. But these do not come through because there is so many red tape maybe in the government side. This is where I say it is not positive yet for their 1 year ruling the country.
So let's talk about, I guess, the big issue here, right? Because there have been continuous demands from both local and migrant workers about increasing that minimum wage. How well do you think the minister has responded to these demands?
Actually, first of all, as I say from beginning, when the PH government politicized the minimum wage, that is wrong. That is part of the wrong thing that they have made in their manifesto, because minimum wage is not a political item, there is a law, there is a procedure, there is the national the wage council who do it by the law every 2 years. So there will no be expectation after the before the negotiation. But once you put a figure, you make public have the expectation. When you bring it to the council, the National Wage Consultative Committee, and they come out with their main player, that is the employer, and the technical team, come up with the figure where it should be negotiated by three of them, and then to make sure that they have one figure that they can agree. But what happened is that they bring the figure that was proposed by the three players and then make decision on their figure where it comes with 1050. And then after that, come again, they counter again on the budget, 1,100 ringgit. Whether that is equivalent to their manifesto, no. Whether that is equivalent to the public, no. Whether that is a material that are after research, no. And at the end of the day, the manifesto cannot fulfill that 1,500 ringgit.
On the line with us today is Dato' Abdul Halim Mansor, president of the MTUC, or the Malaysian Trade Unions Congress. We're speaking about the demands that were put forth by workers at the Labour Day rally that, of course, occurred yesterday. Up next, we continue our conversation, focusing on what the ministry has promised. Keep it here on the Evening Edition, BFM 89.9.
Be firmly motivated. BFM 89.9.
It's the Evening Edition with Lynn and Kelvin. We're talking about the Labour Day rally that was held yesterday by the MTUC and was joined, actually, by Human Resource Minister M. Kulasegaran. And we're speaking about it today with Dato' Abdul Halim Mansor, who is, of course, president of the MTUC. Now, earlier we were talking about the demands that have been made regarding the minimum wage, but the minister has also mentioned that they're going to be focusing on seven acts, among them discrimination against women, worker health and safety. Are there any details at the moment about what these changes might actually be?
They may want to talk about maternity protection. That is already agreed before but was not amended because the former government don't really have enough time to amend that. That is 90 days per pregnancy. And then maybe they want to talk about... as I say, if you are talking about the 7 Act and then discrimination, workers' health and safety, I think what that we have in the Employment Act on the health and safety is not clear. So this is the thing that where maybe the minister would say that they want to talk about the health and talking about the safety of the workers in the sense that to provide that a better protection for the workers, as I say, on the ceiling of the social security. And this was related also to make sure that the government, tertiary body, and even we are talking about women that are the wives, the housewives, to be protected under social security. But if you want to do that at one time, all the 7 acts, you're going to do a big reform, I believe it will take a longer time.
Is this the best direction for the ministry to be moving towards?
I think yes. Because why? I think they are very objective on focusing on the 7th Act because they believe that this Act was published even before our Independence Day. But you found that the act is not really suited to the environment at present. And I believe they are very positive in it. They really look at it because some of them in the new party, they found that the act was too old and that they want to do it. But to me, it is positive, but whether, they should choose which one is to make sure be the immediate action to be taken, and they can bring it to the parliament for amendment and get an endorsement as early as they can, and then after that go for another act to be tabled in the parliament. I don't deny it is positive, but whether it suits the time when we want to push this embark. It is a very big, responsible, and very sensitive if we make anything technically wrong, and then we are in difficulty.
So earlier today, Tun Dr. Mahathir has said that the high number of migrant workers in the country is because Malaysians don't want to take on harder 3D jobs. This is not something new. He said it before. What are your thoughts on this?
I think in quoting that, Malaysian workers have no attitude of 3D, dangerous, dark and difficult. As far as we're concerned, all Malaysian workers can work anywhere. So I'd like to say here, whether the foreign workers is a need or is a profit. Because if they do not discriminate the foreign workers by means of all the social security and wage protection, and if they say that we are the workers is choosing, I told the government before, stop taking and stop depending on foreign workers. Use whatever we have and then send them back, you know, and make sure that we have our local workers from all the 14 states to be transferred to wherever it needs. One. Second is I say that the private labor agency should be closed immediately, and then all intake should be taken by the Malaysian Employer Federation responsible on it. That means you have to honor whatever belongs to the workers, because there is no such thing in the in working environment that I am a local worker, you are a foreign worker. When you work in anywhere, any law must be honored by the employer. So by that, you see that whether we our government is sincere or not talking about, you know, our workers are more choosy than the foreign workers. Government should be firm. Government should be firm, and when they say no, it's no. If they say that the workers do not want to work in the restaurant, let's look at the restaurant. Why do Malaysian workers work in the fast food restaurant? Means that they have the protection. They are they have all the social security there. Restaurant, for example, the Mamak restaurant or whatever restaurant that we have, they do not even want to rest. The social security that need for the workers, they don't want to pay a minimum wage. So how do you want to make sure that these all PTPT trader respect, don't fulfill what they need because they need the foreign workers, but no action or firm action been honored or taken by the government? So it should be blamed to the government. It is not Malaysian workers to me. You know, because I don't like people to blame Malaysian workers, because I used to be a worker. You know, why now we want to complain about it? Most of the people are still around.
Dato' Halim, thank you so much for sharing your thoughts with us. That was Dato' Abdul Halim Mansor, president of the MTUC. And we've received a message on the subject of 3D jobs from Khairul.
The same 3D jobs in Singapore, Brunei, Qatar, UAE, Australia attracts a lot of Malaysians to go work there. What's the point working high-risk jobs for a low wage that cannot sustain a normal Malaysian with a family? Don't equate us to foreign workers staying in kongsi or hostels and eating nasi putih with curry dal every day. Oil and gas costs a lot. All the 3D jobs down to general workers are mostly local. Sorry to M, you're not always right.
Yeah, and I think that was reflected also in the response.
Yeah.
That we received there. On earlier conversations, when it comes to food, Ame says, about eating less meat, remember that we import soya to make tofu and tempeh. Our society has a problem with diabetes, which is partly exacerbated by overeating cheap carbs like rice, made worse by doing little exercise. So we need to be careful about telling people to eat local, especially when we admire tall and buff Westerners who grow up with high protein diets.
And with that fact also, sometimes the measurements that apply more so to the average white man doesn't necessarily apply to us. And that is a problem that we face with the BMI, because the average is, of course, based on, I believe, American standards. So maybe we just need to find a gauge of our own and measure how best to fit that Malaysian diet.
Yeah, and also telling people to eat local, I think, is partly an attempt to try to find a balance between eating healthily locally. Because yep. If you make eating healthy easier, and part of that ease comes from it being local, comes from it being accessible and easy to find and constant, then that's a factor here as well. I don't think it's as simple as saying local produce only.
Yeah.
It's also about ease.
Yeah.
And we shouldn't ignore that.
And then finding out ways to make local foods even healthier for you, because you kind of know the ingredients, you kind of know the recipe, so you know where you can play around with it.
A message from a listener, skeptic about the whole notion of climate change. The global climate is always changing, but that doesn't mean we need to conserve the environment. That doesn't mean we don't need to conserve the environment, just need to moderate our consumption and development in general. I I am not a skeptic on the subject of climate change. It's real. It is of huge concern. But I think that point about conserving the environment, at least there is that. So
yeah, I'd say just listen to the people who are living on islands that are actively at risk of sinking. The people there are at risk of drowning because of rising sea levels. Maybe also listen to scientists who have done a lot of research into global warming.
Meanwhile, Christian says, I grew up a child who craved meat, refused vegetables, but I became a vegetarian at 18 and a vegan at 22. Because of how the ecologist educated me on how meat production was unsustainable and contributed to starvation in cash crop economies. So in today's world, with information at our fingertips, people should think about their children's future and reduce meat and the lifestyle of excessive consumption, because one day our grandchildren will lecture us on what we've done to the planet. And on the subject of workers, Mahathir's argument is insincere and is repeating Zaid on the 3D. The reason we have migrant workers is due to collusion between our government and industries to suppress wages with lowly paid exploitable foreigners.
On that last point about the migrant workers, there's also the problem. What I think it's perpetuating is that low wages better than no wages. It's kind of buying into this line that, hey, and it's helping the narrative from the employer's end that, well, at least we're paying you something rather than paying you nothing.
And we also have a tweet that came through on the subject of safety from Crash Overload, which is quite great, saying Malaysians are full of weird people. When crime happened, they preferred to report in WhatsApp, Facebook or social media before reporting to the police. The evidence is in the Taman WhatsApp group. It does. I think that comes from a desire to protect the community that you live in.
Yeah.
I'm being kind here. I'm assuming that it's not just people gossiping. I do think that it comes from, hey, this happened. You guys need to know because we live here.
Yeah. Though it is important to always file a police report if you can, because it does establish a pattern for the police to slowly try to figure out what actions they can take.
That also speaks to a trust deficit, though.
Yes, it does.
Yeah, the fact that you would prefer to take matters in a very mild way into your own hands as opposed to reporting it is a problem. All right, thank you everybody for those messages. We are going to be headed to 7:30 news, following which it is Skip Intro. I'm going to be joined in the studio by Ian, Bahe and Julian, and we talk about our very favourite films, or at least our very favourite films at the moment, not of all time, because we couldn't pick. And we'll be back for that conversation after this. BFM 89.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my, BFM 89.9, the business station.